Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast, two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. And today is Tuesday, March 7th, 2017, and you're listening to Episode 9.
I think this is the first time we've recorded on a Tuesday.
It gets later and later each week, but we had planned to be on a regular Sunday night, but, you know, as luck would have it, the illness that you guys experienced last week kind of carried over to this week, but this time to different people.
Yeah, I felt yesterday like I had been hit by a truck in the face. So, you know, when I got home from work last night, I didn't have it in me. You know, I kind of postponed it from Sunday, which in retrospect, I felt better on Sunday than I did yesterday. But nonetheless, appreciate everybody for holding on. You know, the show must go on, though. This podcast isn't going to host itself.
That's right. And there are two of us, so we got to both be here. I don't think anybody wants to listen to me for a full 45 minutes. So, hey, let's have the banter.
I think maybe you would listen to yourself for 45 minutes, though.
Yeah, even I won't. Anyhow, well, I'm glad we're here. We're going to get this through and get it up tonight sometime after I've had a chance to go through things after dinner. And hopefully everybody will forgive us and come back next week for episode 10.
Yes, episode 10 already.
That's right.
And we're hitting double digits now.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. So I think when we started it out, we had this as kind of a goal to get to 10. So next week will be fun.
I mean, at one point, I think our goal was just to get to 1. So the fact that we're at 10 right now is pretty good.
We're almost at 10. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Well, so far, so good.
That's right.
I'm confident there will be an episode 10 that's recorded in about 5 days.
That's right.
Well, if we actually record on Sunday this week.
A little less time to plan. But speaking of episode 10, one of the things we asked in the last couple of weeks, and we put it out on social, is to let us know some of your favorite segments or moments or, you know, any of those things that you thought either struck a chord with you, things that we've said, go, I do that. I did have somebody at work saying, you know, she washes her dishes on the pots and pans settings like I do. So that was kind of funny. I've had somebody mention the socks and the tree seeds and all that stuff. So we're curious to hear what everybody else says. So shoot us an email, hello@thetwobobs.com, or leave us a voicemail on our phone line at 530-882-BOBS.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Yes, we do.
2627.
That's right, Bob's is 2627. So since we are recording this on a Tuesday during my lunch break, I'm not going to have any beer today, but I will save it for later. But you have been over there sipping on something. What's on tap today?
Yes, to be honest, I'm not working today, so, you know, I have no problem taking back a beer. Although, you know, you're leaving me here to drink by myself, which
that's all right.
You know, again, I'm doing it for the show.
You can stop anytime you want to, right?
That's pretty good, though. No, I'm drinking a Trainwreck by Mountain Town Brewing Company in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, home of Central Michigan University. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't, Robert. But
did not.
You know, if you point, you know, if you everybody has a built-in Michigan map on their hand, and if you kind of point like right here toward the middle of the palm, that's where Mount Pleasant is. So, yeah, it's good. It's an amber ale. Again, we were kind of joking throughout the week because you kind of switched over to some of the darker stuff. And I picked up two ales this week, actually. So this is one of them. It's an amber ale brewed with maple syrup and honey. It's 8.2% alcohol by volume. So it's a little bit stronger of a beer. But if you think back to a couple episodes ago where I started slurring my words a little bit more than usual while I was drinking the 22-ounce Dragon's Milk, which is over 11% alcohol by volume. This is pretty tame. I plan on being fully present here for the full episode today.
In a smaller bottle, coupled with the lighter alcohol by volume, you should be all right, right?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. But I know you're not drinking right now,
no.
but I was surprised that you've kind of switched over to some of the darker stuff.
Yeah.
So what have you been trying this week?
Well, one of the things that I tried, and I actually had two bottles because I got one from Melissa because she likes them, then I got one for myself, and I pretty much ended up drinking both of them, although I did let her try some. But I got the Atwater Vanilla Java Porter that you raved about. So
oh, that's good.
Enjoyed that quite a bit. I also grabbed, and it's one I had thought I might save for a show, but it was too good to pass up. And you saw my picture of it on Instagram, but it was the Duclaw Brewery, and it was a chocolate peanut butter porter, Sweet Baby Jesus, I think it's called. And that was really good. I had it on tap a couple weeks ago, but it was during a day where we had been, you know, enjoying other beverages as well. So I don't think I quite got the taste of it. But in a frosted glass and on a day where it just felt like it needed to go down, it was awesome. So I'm going to try to see if I can figure out a way for you to get some so you can try it.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I think my comment was it's like drinking a peanut butter cup, and that's pretty much what it was. It was so good.
They had me at peanut butter.
Yeah, no, it was great. So I'll definitely be buying more.
So did you put that up on Untappd then?
I did. I've saved it on Untappd, and I am at RobertK328 on Untappd. If you'd like to follow me there, I do keep track of all the beers that I drink, including the ones we'll drink on the show. And I know you joined up last week as well.
I did, and I'm at PhilRoberts33. Yet it's a play on my name.
No problem. I know. First
my
I
name
said,
is
what's
Robert
the,
Phillips,
but
it's Phil Roberts. You know what? I think at some point I became Phil Roberts on Instagram, and it had already been taken. At the time, I was 33 years old, so I think I put it on there, and I just don't have it in me to update the number every year to make sure it's consistent with my actual age. So I'm going to be 33 for the rest of my life on some of the social channels, and I'm all right with that.
There's an article earlier that I, you know, in our beer discussions, I was wondering if this could apply to us, but, you know, seeing as we both have, you know, families and responsibilities, but World of Beer, a Florida-based chain of more than 70 craft brew taverns, announced that they're going to be paying people to basically $12,000 to spend the summer traveling around and drinking beer.
This is the dream job that just came into my life like 20 years too late. Wait, no, I was 15 at the time. So we'll go like 20,
whatever.
14 years too,
whatever
too
that
late.
Is.
I mean, this is the perfect job for somebody who just graduated from college and is a single bachelor or bachelorette and, you know, has nothing else really holding him down. This is a great job. $12,000 is a lot of money.
Yep.
For a younger person. All expenses paid, travel around the world, and drink awesome beer.
Yeah, basically for your summer break. So I guess, you know, it's considered an internship, so I don't know if that really counts for anything, but for them, it does count as an internship. So basically, they're not going to pay you outside of the travel expenses and probably some other stuff that they're using that $12,000 to cover for. But no, it sounds really good.
Now, I haven't looked at the official job listing for this, but I almost wonder, so if it's an internship, what are the qualifications? What type of degree are they looking for to travel, fly around, and drink beer, I wonder?
Yeah, it just calls it the internship of a lifetime.
Is it a finance degree? Because I feel like I might still be able to do this.
Yes, I mean, basic information, connect your social channels, because I think they want you to really share all this stuff out there and generate interest. Yeah. So upload a one-minute video telling us a little bit about why you're a perfect person to be our Drink It intern. Keep it casual. Review your favorite brew. Tell us about a brewery trip or show us your hidden talent. Why not? And once you've completed the application, brag to your friends. Sharing a post through your social channels will bump you to the top of our list. So it doesn't really say anything specific about requirements, but it sounds like they want somebody with, you know, a good social media, you know, background, somebody who's going to share everything, and somebody who's good in front of a camera, because I would imagine they're going to want to share all this. So
basically, they're looking for young, hot people to go around and drink beer and share right. It on their social channels.
If only we were younger.
That's true. I got the hot part down already,
yeah.
Luckily, but the young part just, you know, age just happens.
No fooling Father Time.
I mean, according to my haircut, I'm still a newborn, but I don't think I could pass for being a young person that
that's all right.
To travel around the country and drink beer. But, you know, if you were to travel around the country and drink beer, what better place to do it than inside of a hotel that specializes in craft beer?
Yes.
You shared this Mashable article with me. Yep. It's the world's first craft beer hotel wants to soak you in a hot tub full of beer. I don't exactly know if I'd want to bathe in beer, but certainly a hotel that specializes in what we like, craft beer, is pretty cool, actually. What's funny to me, though, is they're actually crowdfunding this on Indiegogo.
Yeah, they're trying to get some funds in order to be able to do this. And so far, it looks like they're just looking at Columbus, Ohio. But My sister actually shared this with me on Facebook as well, not knowing that we had it in our list, but it looks really cool. I mean, basically, you're going to hang out at this, what looks like, as far as the diagram goes, it looks like a nice hotel, and be right there next to a brewery that can pour you as long as you want. But they've looks like they're going to have other things to do there, like a spa and, you know, I guess things for everybody, since you probably can't drink beer for the full 24 hours.
No, probably not. And I'm actually on the Indiegogo page. First off, though, their goal was $75,000.
Yeah.
They've hit 187% of that, so they're at $140,369 raised by 918 different backers. So they're doing all right. Oh. Sounds like it might actually be a real thing here. Some of the features, though, are beer-themed rooms, obviously. Punk IPA, which is a punk jacuzzi for the truly dedicated, it says. Shower beer fridge. So, okay, so it must be a beer fridge inside the shower, so that way you can drink while you're showering as well. Craft beer breakfast for the true alcoholics in the room. And, let's see, malted barley massages and hop face masks. What better to, you know, to help your skin than...
Well, you're destroying your cells. You can rejuvenate them in the spa. But it's actually funny that they mentioned that about the shower, because I saw an article in preparing for this week's show, and I didn't put it in there, but we can certainly link in the show notes. But there was an article about the best beers, like we had last week, was the best wines to eat with these Girl Scout cookies, but the best beers to drink in the shower. And it had, I mean, I don't know. I'd be afraid of that glass, but they did talk about, you know, using cans instead of glass. So we can certainly add that to the show notes if you are a shower beer drinker, but I'm not.
Maybe if I'm on vacation, I guess.
Maybe. It could be.
I mean, we make it sound like, on here, we make it sound like we're always drinking. But again, yeah. I mean, I haven't, I think the last beer I drank was when we recorded last week's episode. So. Yeah.
No, I've had coffee in the shower. I'll put a cup of coffee out, you know, just on the little shelf outside the, well, I guess on the counter outside the shower, and I'll drink some of that from there.
Well, yeah, I need coffee to live, though. That's the difference.
Yeah, that's definitely some. There's a difference there between coffee and beer for sure. But I would imagine, you know, one of the side effects of staying at a beer hotel would be having too much. And there was a video that I sent you that's for a couple years old, but one of the sites that I follow posted it earlier this week. But it's called The Drunkest Guy Ever Tries to Buy Beer. And this guy, and you know much like we talked about the girl last week doing the somersaults, this guy needs basically a giant glass of water or some Gatorade or something. But it's funny in the fact of all the ways that he goes to try to get the beer, from swinging on the glass door in the 7-Eleven and picking up the case of Bud. And he's walking like he's in one of those fun houses where he's almost at a 45 degree angle for portions of it.
It looks like the room's tilting back and forth. Oh, he falls on the floor.
He's
dedicated to his art.
He is bound and determined to buy another case of Bud and get it out the door, but he lucky for him, he never quite makes it. And actually, at one point in the video, which we'll include in the show notes, but at one point in the video, the owner of the store, manager of the store, looks like a small convenience store, comes over to check on him, and I think eventually gets some help. But I don't know how much he had and how he actually got there, but you know, feel bad for the guy at the same time, have to chuckle a bit at it.
He looks like he's having a good time, though. He's just kind of, hey, dude, I'm just going to buy another case of beer here. This guy's...
Yeah, somebody had awesome. To have dropped him off there, because there's no way he would have been able to get there. I mean, I don't think he could get a key in an ignition.
Oh, no. Almost just knocked over an entire... Oh, he's right up against the chips there.
And that, they're starting to spin the funhouse floor again.
As a bonus, too, when you go to watch this... The background music is My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion being played with a recorder.
And then,
the store manager is holding the case of beer and like trying to hold the guy up while also kind of pushing him toward the exit.
Yeah, he just wants him out of there before he destroys anything. There's some other people to help him. But anyhow, luckily we're not at that
Dockers.
Point. Certainly not on a Tuesday.
No, that guy, Yeah, the store manager, he's both concerned and pissed off at the same time.
He wants to take his money, but he doesn't want him in there any longer.
True story.
Anyhow, another bit of feedback I got last week, you know, but we talked about, I think I corrected you, and we used it for the show title, and your use of the word caramel versus caramel. Mm-hmm. Did anybody mention anything to you about that, or did you come across anything during the week that, you know, were you corrected anybody, or is it just me who's the jerk?
No, it's just you that's a jerk, actually.
I actually got into it with somebody at work. She mentioned, she said something about, we were talking about grape jelly, I think at a recent party, somebody was putting grape jelly in her purse, but she mentioned the word sherbet. And that, you know, I'll see here. She mentioned sherbet, and I had to explain.
My
sister knows that sherbet is a lot like caramel for me, where there's, you know, there's only one R in sherbet, so... we basically, you know, lost our friendship for about an hour there while she looked up the difference between sherbet and sherbet, and promptly schooled me on the fact that both are interchangeable, although I know at the end I'm the one that's right.
Well, so this is where I have to disagree. First off, it's sherbet or sorbet. Is that what you're comparing here?
No, I'm comparing sherbet and sherbet. There's only one R in sherbet.
Sherbet?
Yes.
What's sherbet?
Exactly.
I've never even heard of this. We say either sorbet or sherbet because they're two different things.
No, I'm not even looking sherbet. At sorbet. That's something completely different.
Yeah, well, that's I thought you were comparing that. I'm like, well, they're not supposed to be the same.
Well, she sent
what's
me...
sherbet?
Yes, it's basically what you're calling sherbet, but there's only one R in it. So she pulled up this Merriam-Webster dictionary link that had it, and it said... On a hot summer day, there's nothing like sweet cold sherbet on your tongue to make you feel cooler. Or maybe you call it sherbet. Or maybe you get all hot under the collar when people call it that. Maybe in your mind, the confection can only be called sherbet. And people who call it and spell it sherbet are bumbling Neanderthals. And that's where
does Merriam-Webster know about words?
I know. That's a posers. But so basically, I stopped there because I didn't want to read the rest. It basically already agreed. But she promptly, you know, went on to tell me that the rest of it does back the claim that both are interchangeable. And so the other one that I have at work, somebody says at work says pitcher instead of picture. So I always say, no, you have a pitcher of lemonade and a picture of your family on your desk. So to her, it's always pitcher.
One that really gets on my nerves is when people say Chipotle.
That I've
instead
heard.
Of Chipotle.
That's right.
The T comes before the L. You're literally rearranging letters at that point to make a new word. It's like saying, to me, in my brain, it's the same thing. Instead of saying Santa Claus, saying, hey, Satan Claus is coming down the chimney on Christmas Eve this year. I mean, just, it's all the same letters, but... Yeah, there's people that I work with on a regular basis that call it Chipotle, and it breaks my heart every time I hear it.
Yeah, I couldn't spell it, but I'm pretty sure. And I think there's sometimes people put two L's in it, so it's Chipotle, but I think it's Chipotle. There's only one. But anyhow, I could go on for days about correcting this. And Melissa said last week, I think she was kind of mocking me that, you know, a whole episode of me correcting people would get old pretty quick. But it's a flaw. Character flaw, I guess.
Yes, it is a flaw. Just like, that's one of many things that really just, you know, turns my rage meter up to 999. Most of what ticks me off, it happens in the car.
Yeah,
like people texting while they're driving.
Yeah.
You can always, and we've talked about this before, you can always tell the asshole that's texting while he's driving because he's swerving in and out of the lane. He's driving 800 feet behind the car in front of him, not because he's trying to keep a safe distance, but he's just blind to what's going on in the rest of the world. Also, people who don't turn or people who don't use the turn signals, it just drives me nuts. Well, everybody else know you're turning.
The texting people too can also be driving extra slowly because they want to give themselves, you know, 10 car lengths worth of, you know, stopping distance in front of them. So you can usually tell that you know, when I'm in the morning, I drive on the HOV lane, and I can usually, you know, hopefully go faster, and we'll get to that, but hopefully go faster than the rest of the lanes, because otherwise, what's the point of HOV? And usually, I can see in the next lane over, there's like a huge gap in front of a car, you know, as I'm going past it, so I'm able to look over there, and I see that he's got it kind of down in his lap, and he's, you know, looking down at it. Not quite as bad as the guy with two phones that I saw, you know, a month or two ago, but That's another way to tell them.
At the same time, he had two phones?
Yeah. Yeah, like it was looked like he was trying to transfer, you know, his contacts from one to the other while driving down the highway.
Oh, that guy's an asshole.
So, yeah. So
I hate him. I don't even know him. I hate him.
I hate that guy. HIV slowness.
If you're listening to the show and you drive with two phones in your hand at the same time,
call us.
Shut us off. No, shut us off. You're dead to me. Go away.
HIV lane slowness is something that bothers me. You know, being in the HOV lane, you want to be able to get past everybody else, but there are cars that will drive the same speed as the rest of the traffic, even if it is well below the posted speed limit. Even if I'm not in a hurry, it's like I see the, you know, miles of lane ahead of them and they're just poking along. So that gets me crazy. So I usually have to tell myself, just relax, just relax.
See, we don't even have HOV lanes here in Michigan, but we have left lanes, and Michigan drivers are generally pretty aggressive drivers to begin with, I think.
Yeah.
If we could find an article of some true research that's been done, you know, between states, which state has the most aggressive drivers, I'd be shocked if Michigan wasn't in the top five, because we're pretty aggressive, and you can tell as soon as you cross that kind of like that Michigan-Ohio border. Like if you're coming north from Ohio, as soon as you cross into Michigan, everybody just speeds up. You can be in the left lane in Ohio going five over and everybody's just fine with it. You try to go five over in the left lane in Michigan, you'll get mowed over.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you do get people who are just, you know, putting along in the left lane, just oblivious to the lineup of traffic behind them that are trying to go a little bit faster, who are just refuse to switch lanes. It drives me insane.
Yeah, I think Virginia, I saw an article a couple weeks ago where they're actually looking at trying to figure out how to fine people more for driving slowly. So if you're in the left lane, I think I don't know that it's technically illegal, although I know a lot of people in New England say that it's really good up there, that people in the left lane, they only use it for passing. But here, there are just so many cars, which is why we have the HOV lanes. But the article, and I'll see if I can find it, but the article basically said that, you know, they're trying to figure out how they can increase fines for people that are, like I said, the 45 mile an hour people, you know, they have excessive fines for people that go way above the speed limit. So they're going to try to figure out how to get it for people that go below. But that definitely turns up my rage meter as being behind the slow pokes. And one thing before we get too far, we want to hear from you what things set off your rage meter to, you know, peg it at 999 before your head explodes. So leave that on our voicemail, 530-882-BOBS. Or send us an email, get us on Facebook, Twitter, any of that. So do you have anything else that gets you up there?
I do, but before we do that, I do want to call somebody out. Uh-oh. My soon-to-be sister-in-law, Bree.
Yeah?
She did mention to me the other day, I saw her at an event over the weekend on Saturday evening. She told me she's been meaning to call into the show, so this is me just calling her out to tell her she better call into the show.
Yeah, I mean, what is she waiting for?
I don't know what she's waiting for. Every week, though, she says she wants to call into the show.
Didn't she notice we had a phone number?
Yeah, I noticed that she had a phone number.
You know, maybe nobody told her.
What's funny is that elderly listener was actually at the same event, too. Geez.
She's alive?
She is. They let her out for a night. The bus just pulled right up in front for a couple hours.
Oh, that's good. What else pegs your meter?
One of the things that I really can't stand, and I have young kids, and I know that sometimes being a parent of young kids can be overwhelming, and sometimes you just, you know, say fuck it and just let them do what they want. But yep. When you're out in public, and it's not that your kids are out of control, it's that you just aren't even trying to control your kids. You know, case in point, people will come into the office, and their kids who are, you know, I don't know, 9, 10, 11 years old,
yep,
are sitting there pouring coffee for themselves. And first off, when a kid drinks coffee, they don't drink it black. They drink it with about a pound of sugar in it.
That's right.
And it's just everywhere. And they're making this huge mess. And the parents, first off, I'm thinking, well, why don't you stop your 10-year-old from drinking coffee? They probably shouldn't be drinking it in the first place. But then they're just making a freaking mess and they just walk out. It just drives me insane.
Yeah. Tell them not to drink it, but watch where they do it.
Yeah, I have a 3-year-old who's out of control sometimes, but, you know, you exit the situation. But people who just sit there and just ignore them and let them do what they want just drives me insane.
I've definitely felt that same sort of thing against, you know, some of the kids that are there, and try to keep mine, you know, in order as much as possible. If it means taking them off to the side and saying, you know, just basically explaining it to them. But Yeah, I've seen my fair share of parents that aren't really doing that either. So
yeah.
One thing that, and this happened to me the other day, but going through the grocery store, and I'm usually, you know, if I'm in there just to get a couple of things, I think I was trying to get cereal and then look to see if there was any beer to, you know, to grab for the show that I needed in the refrigerator. But people who take up the whole aisle, so usually they'll park their carts, and I saw a meme about this the other day, you know, good people and bad people, but they'll park their carts and go and stand in the free space to look at the opposite side. That's kind of crazy. And the other one is, you know, when somebody's there and then somebody else will walk through, but they're walking really slowly and you're just trying to get through to get everything. Or the at the shopping mall, we still have a few indoor centers here, although that's trying to trending to the outside, but there'll be, you know, usually kids or sometimes a family, and they'll all be walking side by side. And the area is only wide enough for, you know, 5-6 people. And you need, you know, basically two lanes to go to and from. And they're walking all the way across. So basically hogging the whole thing is a big rolling roadblock, so to speak.
Agreed. Because I'm a fast walker.
Yes.
I don't like to take my time. No. I'm not a patient person. I like to get, if I'm going somewhere, I'm on a mission to get there as expeditiously as possible. So if you're going to slow me down, I'm probably going to get irritated with you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is why I order my Starbucks ahead, so I can run and grab the shit
just
and
pick it up.
Get the hell out of there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, you mentioned grocery stores and shopping centers. One of the things that ticks me off are people who double park, especially the people who double park who are in a regular ass size car who.
And not that special. Know,
yeah, even if you're in an H2, I'm sorry, you can still fit into a spot. That just drives me insane. We were taking Harrison, my youngest, to his first he's three, so it's not really a soccer game, but his soccer class, and the parking lot's filled. It's one of those where, like, all the cars are just going around in circles waiting for people to leave,
yep.
Or they're parking out onto the service drive thing on the, you know, next to the building. And here's this one asshole who's just double parked. I wouldn't be the one to key his car, but if it did get keyed because of that, I wouldn't feel sorry for him.
You would tip that person generously.
Yeah, I'd be okay with it. Maybe, you know, a thumbs up.
Well, another car one that I have is when I'm at a light and it turns green, if I'm not already going at the moment it turns green, the jerk behind you that honks your horn.
Oh, like the second it turns green?
Yeah, like the instant, you know, it turns green. It doesn't even have to be me. I mean, I've done that sometimes too, where, you know, we're sitting at a light and there's two lanes to go, and the person doesn't go, and the person's, you know, behind them is laying on their horn to get them to go. It's like, the yell, you know, the red is not even completely, you know, the light, there's still a little hint of red in that light, and the guy's already on his horn to get somebody to go and just chill out. And usually, you know, sometimes if I'm feeling particularly, you know, snarky, I'll honk my horn at back too. You know, everybody's honking their horn kind of thing. Just lighten up, pal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, give it a sec. Give it a few seconds.
Yeah.
Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, let's say 10 seconds go by and that person's still not moving.
No.
I'm laying on my horn at that point because that person is obviously not paying attention, and I'm not going to have to sit there for another couple minutes at a light because they decided they didn't want to go.
I give it like 3 seconds, and then if they haven't done, I just give a quick meow. You know, just
hey,
put your phone down and go.
I had a guy, though, who I did that, and the fucker flipped me off. Like, really, dude? You're holding up traffic? What did I do wrong?
Just go. Yeah. I mean, if you're laying on the horn, you know, after 3 seconds, that's probably a bit much. But, you know, these days you can't just go randomly flicking people off, you know, in the car, so.
Hopefully I have your bleeper queued up this week, because I've said the F-bomb a couple of times already.
That's all right.
I noticed one got through last week. I'm like, yeah, you can say fuck once, I guess.
I think we just let it go at that time, just to test the waters.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard any negative repercussions. You know, a lot of the people that would give me feedback about me saying the F-word are the same people I normally would say the F-word to anyway. So it's like...
they weren't surprised.
Outside of the office, I swear like a truck driver. Even in the office when nobody's listening, I swear like a truck driver. So
I think you know, our rage meter also goes up when something doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And usually what it is I noticed a couple of times, and they sent me a new box, and now it's doing it when I start it up. But the DirecTV remote in my old box was just never seemed to respond. I'm trying to change channels and the buttons aren't going, and I'm like pushing them and I'm squeezing it and like gonna, you know, bang the remote on the table or a chair or an ottoman and just try to get it to work. And you know, it eventually does, but now it only does it when I first turn it on. I'm like trying to change a channel or turn the volume down that it's been up too loud before, and it doesn't work. And that piques me quickly. And I usually am pretty slow to get up there, but that almost sends it to the roof immediately.
Well, I had that issue. Every once in a while I had that issue with when I had regular DirecTV before. Yep. I went to their streaming service, but, hold on. That was not me. Well, it was me. It's just not,
at a different time.
No, sorry. Okay. I'm good. I thought I had to sneeze. I didn't have to sneeze. I'm going to sneeze anyway. But no, I had that issue when I had X1 with Comcast. Oh, my God. The laggiest freaking box. Yeah. Everything was a weight on that thing. And that drives me nuts. I mean, you know, you and I are both Apple guys.
Yeah.
So we're used to our stuff. I hit a button. I want to do something. It's snappy, right? I hit it. It responds. There's no wait. And the slightest, and I guess maybe I'm a little bit disenchanted, but like the slightest little delay,
yeah,
a half second delay just gets on my nerves.
Drive me crazy. I think there's plenty of things out there that make everybody else crazy too. So if you've got any of that, let us know. We like to hear it, and we'll share it next week.
And if I do any of them, please let me know too. Because
well, I did have one.
Not that it'll stop me, but
I did have one that involved you, and I left it off because a couple of times I have involved you, and you always seem to be a little bit upset with me, although only briefly. But
I've never been upset with you. Trust me.
When Rob doesn't reply to my texts, I mean, sometimes it feels like I can send you a text, order something from Amazon, and the box will show up on my doorstep before I hear back from you. And I just figure you're busy.
It's never personal, Robert, you know.
I'm very sensitive. My coworkers would tell you I'm very sensitive. I demand certain things. I like certain treatment. You know, when I get there, I want them to have my big velvet pillow for them to carry to meet me to my desk. And if they're not ready, I'm not ready, and the whole day is screwed. So I have needs. I have demands. I am sensitive, and I don't know what else to say, but I'll skip that one because, you know, I don't want to call you out.
I will tell you this much. You're not special in that regard. You're not the only person who can go hours without. My wife sometimes will text me and go hours without a response. It's just, I'm at work. I get involved, you know, really just caught up in my day really easily. You know, like a day like I had yesterday, I'm sick and I'm trying to work, and, you know, it's, you know, you'll be all right.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not going to change that, but you'll be all right.
No, I understand. I had that with a friend too. She texted me. We're trying to, you know, friends from high school, we're trying to get together next week, or I guess this weekend now. And, it took me a little while to get to respond to her because I wanted to check on schedule and try to figure things out. And then by the time I realized that I had forgotten, you know, it basically scrolled down between texts from Melissa or, you know, people from work or you or, you know, other chats and stuff like that. So I went, oh crap, I forgot to write her back. So I went ahead and did and bumped it back up to the top. So then she did the same thing. The kids were playing with the phone and a day or two went by without, she went, oh, same kind of thing. They marked it as red and she didn't see it. And so it happens. I'm not all that worried about it. I put it on there just kind of a joke, but
it doesn't bother me.
Next week we'll discuss red flags that help you determine right away that this person that you're speaking to is an idiot. So give us a call and leave us a message on our voicemail, send us an email, hit us up on social things and let us know what you like to think, and we'll incorporate you into the show.
I mean, I haven't read the article yet, but I have a couple ideas.
I know. We'll make a good list, and we'd like to have everybody else's feedback. So what else we got today?
Well, you know, I don't know. You've heard of Jaden Smith, right?
Yeah, Will Smith's, I think he's their son.
It's Will Smith and Jada Smith?
Yeah, Jada Pinkett.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yep.
Yes, their son. I didn't know this, but I mean, he's pretty much a genius. He
he's got some ideas, let's say that.
I mean, he has some very, very deep thoughts on the universe in general. In fact, so deep, he actually published a video, which is on Mashable, and we'll make sure we put the address in here so you can actually get the full effect of it.
Yeah, you kind of need to see it. You know, it originally came from Vanity Fair, and then I don't remember exactly where I saw it, but then I saw it again on Mashable, so that's the link that I used to share it with you. But we've got some of the audio here, and it's not very long, but he basically has the world's deepest teen on Twitter has made some time with the good folks at Vanity Fair to bestow even more wisdom upon us. So he goes through these random facts that we'll play and discuss as we go along. So let's get started.
The human brain takes in 11 million bits of information every second, but is aware only of 40. In an average lifetime, human skin completely replaces itself 900 times.
Wow.
So they've got the deep music, and then when you see the video of this, he's basically, and I'll probably add it to the post, maybe use it for the cover art this week, but he's got this dumbfounded look on his face, like, this is really mind-blowing stuff. And even the title of the YouTube video is Jaden Smith Reads Mind-Blowing Facts About the Universe. So
I want to know where he sourced these facts from, though. I mean, they're just...
CNN, evidently.
Was it at a Mensa meeting? They were just discussing this, and he was taking notes.
He's got some good ones in here. So the skin replacing itself, I've heard that before, where your skin, you know, the cells basically regenerate over time. And that's why your skin falls off, and almost like a snake, where you need new skin. And I think it just does it on its own.
Well, if I remember, most household dust is dead skin. That's
just
come
skin
off.
Cells, yeah.
That's so disgusting. There's just skin everywhere in your house, all of your shit.
Let's see what else he's got.
You see your nose all the time. Your brain just chooses to ignore it.
You see your nose all the time.
So this, he's referring to the fact that you can actually, with your eyes, you could see your nose. Like if you close one of your eyes and look down, your nose is right there. Your brain just processes that, you know, just... That's hilarious.
Yeah, like if you close one eye or you close, you know, the other one, you can see your nose. So I guess he's
just sad.
Yeah, you did. I was reading ahead.
Thank you, Robert, for reiterating that. If you close one of your eyes, I don't know if you knew about this. If you close one of your eyes and look down, you can see your nose.
That probably goes along my lines of correcting people. You know, I'll correct you by saying the exact same thing that you did. All right, let's see. Next one.
At least you didn't say you disagree.
Mind blown.
Mind blown.
There are more synapses, nerve connections in your brain than there are stars in the galaxy.
Now, how... Like you said, where did he get this? Is he reading, you know, the mind-blowing facts Wikipedia page, or did he just start Googling weird facts and decided to read these with the, you know, the piano?
I mean, this is the same kid, though, that didn't he launch an acting career, a music career, both of which haven't done well? Maybe it's because he's too smart for those careers.
Oh, but yeah.
He's working on his PhD in biochemistry instead.
That's right. This is his thesis right now.
My God. You were once the youngest person in existence.
You were once the youngest person in existence.
I mean,
yeah. for how long? I mean,
it doesn't matter.
It
could be a millisecond.
Is it enough to blow your mind, though?
It blows my mind that we're even discussing this.
Looking at his face blows my mind. All right, next up.
On Saturn and Jupiter, it rains diamonds.
You like this one at the beginning, but on Saturn and, what do you say, Saturn and Jupiter, it rains diamonds.
It rains diamonds. I feel like that's not true, though.
If it was, then, you know, Elon Musk would be working on, you know, trying to colonate there rather than Mars.
Oh, shit, yeah. I'll colonate there.
That's right. Who else is trying? Oh, Jeff Bezos. You know, those guys. They, if it rained diamonds there, that's where they would be first. Guaranteed.
Human saliva contains a painkiller called opiorphine that is 6 times more powerful than morphine.
So why is it every time I have a headache, I just don't cure it by swallowing? If that were true, I wouldn't have to take any migraine medicine.
I'm actually searching for Wikipedia-ing. Opiorphine. It's an endogenous chemical compound first isolated from human saliva. Has a pain-killing effect greater than that of morphine.
So it is from Wikipedia.
So why am I not always high on my saliva then, though?
Yeah, like I said, you know, if I'm asleep, why do I get a headache while I'm asleep? I mean, I'm, you know, all that saliva is going down and it's not helping any. So I still can wake up with a headache that, you know, feels like it's going to debilitate me for 3 hours.
Oh, see, here it is.
Uh-oh.
Therapeutic application of opiorphine In humans would require modifying the molecule to avoid its rapid degradation in the intestine and its poor penetration of the blood-brain barrier. So we just have it degrades quickly and we have a resistance against it.
So if that's the case, then is it really as strong as morphine?
Not in my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Okay.
Sharks have been around for longer than trees.
What?
Sorry.
Where does this even come from?
Now, did he ask the oldest shark out there, going, you know, hey, do you know what a tree?
Listen, if you're listening to this and you have some sort of evidence that shows that sharks came before trees, please let us, please, you know, send it on to us. I'd love to see it because I feel like he's just pulling at straws at this point. That's not even true, right? I mean,
it makes me think, which comes first, the tree or the tree seed?
The tree or the shark seed.
Now, was the shark the one that planted the tree seeds or what?
Yeah. It's actually, tree seeds are actually shark poop.
No, you've got to do a taste test to tell the difference. Otherwise, they're indistinguishable.
True story.
All right, next up.
That one's hard to believe, but it's actually true.
Of course it's
there are more stars in space than grains of sand on Earth.
More stars in space than grains of sand on Earth.
I mean, sure. Has he counted the star of the grains of sand?
That's probably another one of those Wikipedia facts.
Who knows how much sand? How many grains of sand are on Earth?
50% of human DNA is shared with a banana.
Oh, man. And I read an article yesterday, or I don't know if it was this morning or whatever, but it was talking about how bananas are, you know, on their way out. They're going to be extinct soon because of a fungus. So that's another day.
That sucks. Well, but think about it. If we're eating a banana, then are we cannibals?
Maybe.
50%
50% of the DNA. But anyhow, we'll leave the rest of those for you to watch on your own or listen to on your own. And move on from there, but it's definitely well worth a listen, so keep an eye out for the link in the show notes.
Yeah, we listened to the whole thing, and there's actually some funny ones, like the one if you're the oldest human on the planet, you were born with a completely different set of humans on the planet. I thought that was
some good ones.
Yeah, some are just simple math. Yeah,
that's right.
I guess it's true. All right, so you know, obviously, you know, you're on your lunch today, Robert. I'm off. I didn't call in sick or anything. I was just scheduled off today. But did you hear about this guy in Japan who he was arrested after stabbing himself with a knife to get out of a day of work?
I'm one of those that I go to work. I mean, unless I'm really sick, then I don't go. But I can't imagine, you know, wanting to get out of work that bad that I decided to injure myself. But, you know, if you remember Office Space...
I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
A good movie.
Basically what he is. But it's this guy in Fukuoka, Japan. And yes, I did look that up, how to say it. But if you read it in English, it doesn't really say that. But a Fukuoka man...
Fukuoka.
I knew you were going to do that, so I set you up. The Fukuoka man arrested after stabbing himself to get off of work. And the second time in 3 days, because another guy actually had it as well. So I guess he figured, he saw it on the news, and he decided that, hey, this is a good idea. I'm going to try it.
Why not? If you hate your job, sometimes you stab yourself so you don't have to go to work. I have never done that.
No, me neither. I mean, I pretty much just, you know, I don't miss work unless I'm deathly ill. So... I always feel bad calling in sick or going. So I guess that's why he figured he made himself sick. But the first guy says, would you stab yourself in order to get a day off work? Even though he did get the day off, he wasn't able to enjoy it because he ended up being arrested that same day. I actually have a little bit of the news clip to discuss what happened.
刺されたと嘘、自作自演で男逮捕。
This is the actual news article.
男が背中を刺されたと届け出ましたが、事件が自作自演だったとして、警察は偽計業務妨害容疑。You
saying you didn't understand any of it?
Nope. Missed that one.
According to police, at about 7:20 a.m. on February 22nd, I'm not even going to try his name, a 54-year-old resident stabbed himself in the left hip with an approximately 13-centimeter long knife in the subway station bathroom.
Subway station.
The news article actually has a video there that'll show you, I guess, like a computer reenactment if you scroll a little bit farther down.
Nothing is better than Japanese computer reenactments.
It's pretty funny. It's basically like, and there used to be a website where you could do this sort of thing, where you could basically animate your own. And I used to do that, you know, as kind of like tricks for people to do. But it's a computerized animation, basically, of him stabbing himself in the men's bathroom right in the leg and falling down and then getting arrested. So
why does this guy have a chopping knife in his hand? Was he going to slice some carrots?
Where was he going to work?
That's not the knife that you stab yourself with.
No, you want something like a, I don't know what kind of knife that is, but, you know, like a filleting knife or something like that. That's not very, very big, but the one, at least in this, you know, animation is fairly large, and it'll create quite a gash. So he's not going to the police station anytime soon. He's going to the hospital.
Or work.
He was quoted as saying, "I didn't want to go to work, so I did it. And if I got hurt, I thought I would not have to go." And according to Tomo News Japan, he was mentally distressed about work-related matters. Currently unknown if these work-related matters were related to overwork, which is a very common problem in Japan. So, only a couple days after that, another guy decided to do the same thing. So he had the same fate. He ended up being arrested as well.
Unreal. He's lucky he's not in China. They'd kill him for that.
Who knows? I think they would be. Yeah, he'd be monitored.
iPhones aren't going to make themselves.
Wouldn't be by himself. So.
Now that I've offended all the Asians, anything else you want to talk about today?
No, I think we're good. That'll do it for this week. Got to get back to work, and you get some rest, and we'll catch up next week.
All right. Yes, and as always, catch us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast, at thetwobobs.com, or shoot us an email at hello@thetwobobs.com. Or what's that phone number, Robert?
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Number is 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-2627. And that is just a voicemail you'll leave. We won't pick up, so don't be nervous. Don't be shy.
Bree, I'm waiting for you to call in.
I've got a few. I won't call them out. You know, what I did is I sent them.
You're nicer than I am.
I created a contact list on my iPhone, and I sent it to them as a text. You know, hey, there's no excuse now, and they haven't called in.
That's why you got to be meaner like I am. Just start calling their asses. Call the asses out.
Hopefully they'll call in for next week, and we'll get them in the show.
It's good.
All
perfect.
Right. Hey, have a great afternoon.
Hey, you too.
Right, bye-bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.